It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 577. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. This show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, Facebook, facebook.com/miketechshow, and also Mike Nation Net. And of course, we have the wiki at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all of the past shows, the audio, the show notes. Give it a try. Check it out. Before we get started, I want to mention Toronto Unconference 2016, taking place July 22nd through the 24th in Toronto, Canada. Get your passports. I will have a link to where you can purchase tickets in the show notes, and also a link has sort of an overall of the conference facility, where to get your hotel. Details are getting finalized of the exact content and who's presenting. It's almost ready to be published, and hopefully that'll be available soon. I will get it to you as soon as I can. If you're attending and you buy tickets, you're a listener of this show, please email me so I have you on a list so I can contact you about some other things. Tonight's topics: Windows 10 tweaks. I have a couple utilities I'm going to talk about. I have some great little tweaks to help speed up Windows 10. I have a stack of email. I also have product recommendation that was actually compliments of Mike, who's Taz Cools in the chat, our moderator. And I have a Synology tip that I want to talk about. First, I'm literally using Instant House Call on my main computer here to link into the computer behind me to discuss the following tips. The first tweak for Windows 10 that I'm talking about tonight, the link will be in the show notes. It's O&O Shut Up 10. It's a free anti-spy tool for Windows 10. You have full control over which comfort functions under Windows 10 you wish to use, and you decide when passing on your data, do you want to pass it on to others or to Microsoft? It's a very simple interface, and it's easy to install, and you can run this from a USB stick. It's broken into multiple sections. You have security, Windows Defender and Microsoft SpyNet, privacy, the synchronization of Windows settings, Cortana, your personal assistant, where you can stop a lot of things. You can disable a lot of functionality there, location services, user behavior, and Windows updates. Also, there's some miscellaneous feedback reminders you can disable. Matter of fact, there's two. There's the big one is three telemetries that are disabled of constantly sending information back to Microsoft. Some of these things you couldn't get to without doing a registry hack or getting into the registry. Here's what I recommend. When in doubt, go to Actions. First, create a system restore point, so in case anything gets messed up. I would undo all changes for factory settings. Turn it all on. Then go up, and there's three sections. There's apply all recommended settings coming from the software author. Then there's apply all recommended and limited recommended settings. And then there's apply all settings. That's turn everything off. Play with this. It makes it so much easier to have one interface for all of these security settings. It gets very complicated. Microsoft has hidden them all over the place in different areas and settings. And again, some of them you can't even get to. This program presents everything in an easy-to-use interface that you can literally toggle the buttons for which options you want disabled or not. Highly recommend O&O Shutup 10. Another utility that's been around, and it's available really to work with not just Windows 10, but also Windows 8, Windows 7, and it's WinAereo Tweaker. Here's why I like this particular utility. There are several settings that that are so simple, but I have to have it. One of them is to put a colorful toolbar. I am so tired of having to go in and customize some of the colors. Everything Microsoft's doing now is so bland in how it appears and how it looks. Depending on your resolution, I like a little color in the and not everything just white and gray. So you can toggle to match the background interface. So right now I have that blue default Windows 10 background picture, so it makes everything a real pretty blue for all the title bars. It's options like that for appearance, advanced appearance settings where you can change menus, you can default drag and drop actions, you can disable downloads blocking, boot and log on. You got boot options where you can turn on Windows 7 like boot menu, always show the boot menu. Enable warnings logo, enable loading circle, enable text messages. You can check these off. You have context menu, encryption context menu, default items for the navigation pane you can check. But here's the one reason. Windows 10 disables and deactivates the Windows Photo Viewer. I love that as a quick, easy photo viewer. Now, if you've got other bigger programs or Earthen View or other things that you want to load your pictures, that's fine. But if you like the Windows default viewer, there's a Windows app section. When you click on Activate Windows Photo Viewer, there's an option there, Activate Windows Photo Viewer, and enables the Windows Photo Viewer app in Windows 10. And you can also deactivate it if you want. That's one of the great options there. Here's another one, which I mentioned last week, to disable the user account control, the UAC. Now it's just a click to disable. You'll have to reboot. As a matter of fact, I recommend rebooting after using both of these utilities. So two really handy utilities for tweaking Windows 10. Highly recommend them. Links will be in the notes. I want to review four Windows tweaks that you may or may not know, and these are pretty simple ones. Go to Control Panel, and we're going to go to Power Options a couple times. Pick Power Options, and this is to speed up your Windows 10 boot. When you pick Power Options, on the left-hand side, it's Choose What the Power Buttons Do. Okay, just click that. Now click Change Settings that are currently unavailable. You can now scroll down and there's an option, turn on fast startup. This helps start your PC faster after shutdown. A restart isn't affected here, but why would you not want that turned on? There's no reason in the world I could come up with a couple of reasons, but by default, you should really have that turned on to help speed up the startup of your system. Check that box, save changes. Now, let's go back to Power Options. This is available in all of your operating systems, but it's sometimes overlooked. choose the high performance plan for your power options. Then go to change plan settings. I always put my computer to sleep. Never. I never want it turned off, especially if it's a desktop. Now, change advanced power settings. Under hard drive, this is one I always talk about. Turn off hard disk after the setting, put a zero. I never want my hard drive to go to sleep. I want it always on, always available. But that isn't the real big tip. Go down, scroll down to processor power management. There's an option, minimum processor state. Make that 100%. Go to maximum, and maximum should be 100%. Just a couple tweaks to make sure that your system's running as fast as it can. Another really easy one, but you should always do it. Right click on the toolbar at the bottom and click Task Manager. If you've never touched it before, click More Details. You get Processes, Performance, App History, Startup, Users, Details, and Services. Click Startup. These are the services and programs. Well, not services, but some are. But they're software drivers and programs that are auto-starting that you don't have to auto-start. I don't need the Adobe Acrobat Speed Launcher. Disabled. This particular system that I'm looking at, it doesn't have OneDrive. It doesn't need it. Disabled. Some of your DVD driving, DVD programs and software to like view movies. I know CyberLink always puts things in the startup. Turn them off. Apple puts things in sometimes that are unnecessary. Go through where it makes sense. Toggle the enable to disable and disable as many of those startup programs that you can. That'll help you start up and run faster, and those things won't be running in the background. That's huge. One final Windows 10 tip. Again, go to Control Panel, go to System if you have the large icons on, then Advanced System Settings. Under Advanced System Settings, you have Computer Name, Hardware, Advanced, System Protection, and Remote. Go to Advanced. Go to Settings. This is the visual effects settings. You have 1, 2, 3, 4 options. You have let Windows choose what's best for my computer, adjust for best appearance, adjust for best performance. That's usually not checked. If you want maximum performance, get rid of all of those wasteful animations. You don't need it because we want it to be fast. And this is what you want. You want to maximize performance. We want everything at the maximum level. Adjust for best performance is the best option. Now, if you want the pretty things and you want those splashes and the animations because you have a killer machine with lots of RAM and lots of CPU, then go ahead, keep them on. If that's not bothering you, but if you want to tweak every little ounce of performance that you can, these are great little tips that are easy to do, that are free, and you can easily turn these tweaks on. Another one, you know what? I just remembered that I really like out of the WinAereo utility to add Windows updates back to the control panel because Windows 10 gets rid of it. I can't tell you how many times I've went there on a Windows 10 system. I'm like, that's right. You got to go to settings. Well, how would you like to add that back to control panel? That's one of those other little tweaks that I enjoy where I like Windows 10. Don't get me wrong. You've heard me bash Windows 10, but it's the guerrilla marketing techniques I don't approve of Microsoft. I actually really like Windows 10, but it should be our choice, not Microsoft's choice, in whether we're going to deploy it or not. And it should be at our schedule. With these tweaks, this is where you can really start to maximize performance from maybe a not-so-fast CPU that you're running Windows 10. Now, of course, the ultimate tweak, but you got to spend money, is to put a solid-state drive. My minimum recommendations for Windows 10. just a Core 2 Duo. I don't care about the CPU. If you're a gamer, you care. But I don't care about the CPU. I care about 8 gigs of RAM and a solid-state drive. To me, that's minimum requirements. And then it's a matter of the size of the drive based on your wallet. To me, that's it. Tweak the system to get the maximum performance, and you're going to be very, very happy. Other tips, and this one is a tip on the Synology. One of the things I noticed, since I have my Synology here, I have a color printer that I love. It's the Xerox Phaser. Love it. Use it all the time. But one of the negatives, it's not Apple AirPrint compliant. So out of the box, I could not print by default without going through utilities and hoops and different things. I couldn't natively print directly to that printer from my network, from my iPad or my iPhone. It dawned on me a few weeks ago that my Synology can share out that printer and enable the Bonjour protocol to make it AirPrint compliant. If you have a Synology and you have a printer on a network that's not AirPrint, guess what? Go to Control Panel, External Devices, go to Printer, add a network printer. And when you add the network printer, guess what one of the options, and mine's the Phaser 6500DN, one of the options is so it can be print to from Apple devices that right now I can print to it via Adobe PostScript 3 and PCL. When I want to print something from my iPhone or my iPad, and I pick print, and then I pick select printers, my Xerox now appears automatically as long as I'm on the wireless network that's on the same network that the printer's attached and the Synology's attached. Now, if you come to my house and you're on the guest network, that's not available because I have a separate network, and so that device and the Synology, you wouldn't see it. So you have to be on the same wireless network that this Ethernet attached printer and Ethernet attached, obviously, the Synology NAS are on the same network. Now it's available and it's announced to all my Apple products and I can print and I am happy, happy, happy that that's working and it's working great. A recommendation that Mike, who's Taz Cools in the chat, put this link on my Facebook feed, and thank you, Mike. I really appreciate it. A USB 2.0 to VGA display adapter for just $26.99 from Monoprice. A little device that allows you to go USB to VGA. It's another option to add that extra monitor where maybe you have a VGA monitor laying around, you got a USB 2.0 port available, here you go. For $27, you can add that monitor. This came about as I was talking about the USB monitors available by AOC, and I now have two. This is a great segue into the emails. There was an email about that. This email was from David. I looked in the show notes but could not find a link to the USB monitor you were testing. Do you have a link to that device, please? I would like to show a few people at work. I sent David the link to the AOC monitor I purchased from Amazon. It was $99 and a little nicer than the one Woot had that was factory refurbished at $69. It's no longer available. So I'm going to put that my Amazon link to that monitor. If you want to spend $100 on a USB monitor, I highly recommend it. I've been using it with my laptops right now. Great example. One of my big clients that I'm on site one day a week, all day. And I have an area that I sit at all the time and I have just my laptop. Really nice having a USB monitor as a secondary monitor because I'm writing crystal reports and doing all sorts of stuff. And it's so nice having a dual screen that I bring with me that's light, doesn't require any additional power. So as long as I power in my laptop, good to go. And I'm using a USB 2.0 port to power it, and I'm using just the one cable. Love it. Highly recommend that if you need it. Let's get to the rest of the email here. This is from Roger. Hi, Mike. It's nice to have an extended family to help you out. So, with some assistance from one of your listeners, I was able to finally resolve my login screen issue. He advised going into lock screen settings and changing it in there. Well, I had already done that before, but this time I kept staring at it, wondering what I was missing. It wasn't that I was missing anything. I had already checked several times that my background was set to Windows Spotlight, and this worked perfectly for the lock screen. But as I previously stated, the picture kept showing up after every reboot. But I noticed that if I scrolled down in the box for background, that choosing a picture was an option if picture was selected. And there sat my hard drive as one of the selections. So what the hell? I decided to browse to a different picture and select it. However, I still left Windows Spotlight selected in the background field, and I rebooted. Bingo, the new picture was displayed. So to sum it up, even though I had selected Windows Spotlight, not picture, for the background, changing the picture setting reflected the change. Yeah, that was very intuitive. Thanks for everything, Roger. Roger, thank you. And I'm so glad that you out there solved this for him. My listeners, thank you. This was from Tyler, and I misinterpreted his email. I thought you were talking about a profile picture, not a login account picture. When I set up my Windows 10 home PC for the first time, I connected it to my Live ID and my picture I set in Skype, Outlook.com, and OneDrive login are all the same. Me too. When I sign in with my Microsoft account, the picture that I've uploaded to Microsoft for my account ID shows up on every system that I marry to that ID. When dealing with a Windows 8 or newer PC, you can have settings synchronized from other computers, possibly a Windows phone, or maybe it's picked it up from a Windows phone camera roll on SkyDrive. Tyler, thank you very much for continuing to follow up on that issue, and I'm so glad it's solved. This is from Curtis. Just now listening to show 571, I think I'm a little behind the times. Anyway, regarding running a long HDMI cable in a dental exam room, don't. Well, that's nice. I've already ran two. Just about any platform will support Miracast, WIDI, or whatever name you want to apply. Put the monitor high in the corner, run power to it, plug in a Miracast dongle, akin to Google Chromecast, but different, and you're ready to go. This is the same technology you can use to screen mirror your smartphone to a smart TV. Alternately, use a smart TV instead of a monitor, and you can let clients watch TV while waiting for a crown to be fitted or denture to be adjusted. Thanks for the show. Here's the question, Curtis, and if you're listening, can you send me the link to this? I'll Google it and search for it. It can't just mirror the display. It has to be extended. It has to be an extended display, not just mirroring. I'll look into this and test it, because if I can have a wireless option instead of running 30 and 40 foot HDMI cables, oh, I'm all in. That makes my life easy, especially because they have four more exam rooms that they intend to light up over the next year as they expand. This is also from Curtis. This is a long email. Another comment about show 571. Yes, customers are important, but don't downplay the importance of being a real business. Here's my experience. Before starting my business, by about 6 months, I researched possible domain names and business names. the domain names I originally wanted weren't available, so I created an alternative, TroutReach Technologies. TroutReach is a combination of my last name and the word outreach. In retrospect, it's much better than my original choices. I secured all those domain names. I had been thinking and researching the process of creating a business. I determined these steps were required. To protect personal assets, it's important to have a real business established, a corporate veil. There are two forms in my state, a corporation and a limited liability company, an LLC. A corporation is simply too expensive and restrictive. The LLC is more flexible, a little more expensive, and mechanically easier than creating an assumed name, aka DBA or doing business as. All right, I'm going to stop right there. He has the second one, get a federal EIN. That's absolutely required and it's free. On giving advice on whether you should be an LLC or not, we can't answer that. No one can. You should consult your accountant. You should consult an attorney to make the proper recommendation for your business. Let me be very clear. I'm not recommending that every business should be an LLC. There are good reasons, and a lot of them should, but there are also reasons that you shouldn't. And you should consult, again, an accountant or an attorney or both on making that decision. Get a business checking account, including checks and credit cards. I agree with that. You want to separate your business from your personal use. My bank offers small business accounts that are, for all intents and purposes, free. I just have to buy checks and pay a deposit fee if I deposit more than 150 items in a month. Ooh, I don't have that limit. Though, I don't think I've ever reached it, but I don't have that. If I ever come close to that number, I'll gladly pay the fee. Yep, you and me both. I have a friend who is a very active SCORE volunteer. So one Monday morning, when I had some free time, I consulted with my friend to review my plans. Drove to my state secretary of state office and registered my business name, etc. The fee at the time was $160. It's a little lower now. I immediately owned my business name in my state. I drove home, logged into the IRS website, and registered my business for an EIN. This process is also immediate. Armed with my state registration and EIN, I drove to my local bank branch to open checking and credit card accounts, make an initial deposit, and ordered a business checking starter kit, eventually business checks and an endorsing stamp. Arguably, the bank charges too much for this, about $70, but worth the convenience. I funded this account with an opening deposit of $1,000, but the amount isn't too important as long as it's enough to pay for the banking fee. Hopefully, the registration and mileage fees and still have a balance above the bank's minimum, which isn't very much. When I drove home, I charged my business with my business mileage. The process from step one to step five started at 9 o'clock in the morning and was completed by 11:30. I've also checked with my personal insurance agent, auto, and homeowners to verify that I don't need any additional coverage to protect for liability and auto coverage when I use my car for business. It's a standard feature for my policy as long as my business mileage is below 25% of the total mileage. Thanks again for the show, Kurt. Thank you for that information because I know it's useful for a lot of listeners who are thinking about starting a business, or maybe you just started a business, or maybe you're turning the corner. You were doing some light consulting and now you're getting more serious. You're getting bigger. Maybe it's not, you're not doing it on the side anymore. You're doing more. All of this information is good, but again, it's not for everybody and it's just a recommendation to consider. And what's nice is you might have set up your business and missed some of these things. And this is going to tweak an idea. And that's what this show is about, to give you things to think about. Wow, I got to look into business insurance. Or yes, I should have a business banking account now. When you get a business banking account, it makes life so much easier to keep your expenses separate. Even if it's just a debit card to that business account, and everything you do for the business, you use that card. So now when it comes tax time and you're downloading the whole year's worth of activity, that's it. You have everything. If you can keep everything coordinated, and it's going to make life easy. Now, is that going to work for everybody? No. But for some people, it works. I know it works for me. I have a business credit card, a business debit card, a business checking account, a business account that I use all the time for all purchases, anything relating to expenses or anything for MHS Consulting, my business, and makes taxes a little easier to prepare. Doesn't make it easy, just a little easier having it all coordinated. That's it for tonight's show. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you got something out of it. There was lots of tweaks here tonight. If you need to transfer files from one system to another, or you're upgrading system, don't think of doing it without using the utility FABS Auto Backup for Tech. That is the killer program for everything that you want in moving and migrating from one system to another. Also, if you want your computer repair website, you're in the computer business and you need a website, techsitebuilder.com. That's the place to go. Again, for tech businesses, when you want all of the possible forms that you could ever need, Computer Business Kit version 3. Also, please remember to use my Amazon link, amazon.mikenation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to support the show. That's it. No show next week. I'm traveling. I leave Thursday. I don't come back till Tuesday. Going to be away for a few days. No chance to do a show next week. I'll see you the following week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.